I think it was Eleanor's, actually. So Eleanor's word, which was all about, it really struck me, all about being united with Christ, being Christ-like. Do you remember that? Right, where she said that we've got to get rid of the things in our hearts that prevent us from growing in what it means to be Christ-like. And I think that's been our journey this Lent, hasn't it? Right. So when you were signed with the mark of the ashes on Ash Wednesday, can you remember what the phrase was that was said over you? There can be a di couple of different phrases, but what was the phrase that you had? Anybody remember it? Just yell it out if you can remember it. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Turn away from sin and return to the gospel, or be faithful to the gospel, right? And so I think that that's really over the last few weeks, this is what we've been focusing on as we've been entering into this most holy of weeks. Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. It really is about conversion. And we all need conversion. Just because you've had a great conversion to encounter Christ doesn't mean your conversions are all done and dusted. We need conversion every day because there are little things in our hearts that prevent us from growing more and more like Christ. And last week we heard from Jackie that some of those things may be attachments. They may be bondages that we have to certain things that we actually spiritually want to crush and we want to cast away, we want to smash in the name of Jesus. So this week we're going to carry on in that theme and see what else Jackie wants to lead us into as we reflect on the little things, maybe even big ones, that prevent us from growing more like Christ. So let's welcome Jackie as she comes forward.
Thank you. Okay. Firstly, thank you to those people who, after last week, came up and asked some questions. Thank you to those people who sent messages. Thank you to those people who spoke to Mario, who spoke to Jane, who then asked me questions. So I just want to start by just hopefully clarifying some things that those questions spoke into. One of them is that what we're doing here and what I say is not dogma. You're free to take on board or let go of whatever it is that you choose. Okay. So just wanted to make that clear. What I spoke about last week, about what Mario touched on, about the conversion of our heart, and that's what Pope John Paul II, I read that quote to you last week. He said that Lent, and of course, all times, is about the constant conversion of our hearts. And that's where we need to start, in our hearts. So that's what the prayers that I was speaking about, and it's actually not so much the prayers, it's more the choosing to be attentive to what's going on inside. And the more we can be attentive to what's going on inside, aka the more we are open to listening to the promptings of the spirit, then the more we can deal with what is actually going on inside. Some of the times we don't even know what's really going on. We know the symptoms of what's going on, but we don't actually know maybe what's causing the symptoms. Maybe we get angry or whatever it is, but we don't know what's causing that deep down inside. So these prayers, just like all prayers, really about is about going deep and being led by the Holy Spirit. The other thing is that what I'm not talking about today is exorcism. Some people have been opened up or opened themselves up so much to the enemy that he can control their speech or actions. Now, that is not what we're doing here. That I'm going to put that in a little box and put it on the shelf, put it over there, because that can be dealt with by the bishops and by those ordained by the church to say they can deal with that. So that's not where we're going, okay? So be comforted in that. The other thing is that I mentioned some time ago that the Archdiocese of Perth did not allow lay people to use commanding prayers, those prayers that bind and cast spirits. Since then, Michelle Firth's been to the Archdiocese and spoken to the Archbishop, who has said, yes, you are lay people are able to use those prayers so long as they are within a community such as Disciples of Jesus, and so, you know, kind of know what we're doing, and or have been trained in the area. So I just want to make that clear as well. Finally, some of the terminology I use is probably not necessarily what we're used to as Catholics in our tradition, but the essence of what I say has been around for centuries. And if you read some of the saints, you will hear them saying the same thing. They just use different words. So, for example, I talked about blockages and bondages and attachments last week, which basically is anything that stops us from receiving fully the Holy Spirit. Saint Catherine of Siena, in her dialogue with God, talks about that as an umbrella. She asked God, how come the Eucharist, like the Holy Communion, is the same, right? Body, blood, soul, and divinity, when it's consecrated, that doesn't change. That fact doesn't change. Then how come it affects some people differently to others? And God said to her, it's because some people have a blockage that stop what God wants to give them. So she said that blockage was like an umbrella, and that's exactly what we're talking about today. It's identifying those blockages so we, if you want to use St. Catherine's terms, can put the umbrella down and throw it away, so that we can fully receive all the graces the Holy Spirit wants to give us in every single sacrament that the church offers. So I'm also not saying the sacraments are not enough. The sacraments are enough. They were established by Christ for his church. Of course they're enough. It's our disposition to receiving what God wants to give us in those sacraments that this examination of conscience that we'll do, and you can do it anytime you like, will help us hopefully go, okay, what is my disposition of heart? Because I don't know about you, but when I go to reconciliation, I usually get in there just before it starts. I might have 30 seconds to do a quick examination. Then I go in and come out again. And then I sit and do my penance and, oh yes, thank goodness. But I don't actually take the time to sit and say, Holy Spirit, I might do it for 5 seconds before I go in. What is it that you want me to confess? Apart from the obvious, what is it that I need to really deal with today? And that's what I think these prayers do. They give us the opportunity to identify, sit, and you don't even have to use these words. You use whatever words you like, but the words I will use are from Scripture. That's why they're powerful. So it's to get us, our hearts disposed to receiving the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to start with all those first. Okay. So today we're going to pray, and I'm glad the prophetic word was what it was, because I think the one that stood out for me was the one that Derek gave, the second one. I can't remember what it was about attachments. Okay, anger, self-righteousness, resentment. So they are things that we can let go of. Sometimes we don't even know what the root cause of that is. So I shared last week that the anger that I was confessing over and over and over again in confession, I didn't realize what the root was until I went to a course that gave me time to just sit and pray, and people prayed into, and there was words of knowledge, and I went, okay, this is the issue. I dealt with the issue, and the anger left, has never come back. Now, I also know someone from the north who had that same experience in the sacrament of reconciliation. So the sacrament can do the same. And I suspect if every priest was a St. John Vianney or a Padre Pio, and every penitent person was truly looking for the deep root of what the problem is, it would happen in the sacrament all the time. So before I talk too much more, I think we did a prayer, St. Michael the Archangel prayer. So I'd like to just pray for an openness to the Spirit and a Hail Mary for her mantle of protection. And then we'll see what happens after that. So let's pray that together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you now, we give you permission to delve into our hearts and to reveal to us what it is you would have us deal with today. I ask for your courage and your insight, and may it be your words, Lord God, that speak into our minds and our hearts, because we choose to be who you say we are, and that is co-heirs to the throne of the kingdom of God, and we claim that promise and anything that blocks us from that, Lord God, we ask you to reveal it to us and then deal with it so it no longer holds us bound. In Jesus' name. And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Okay, I'm going to give you a sheet, and it's basically an examination of conscience. And what I would like you to do, if you want to spread out around the room, feel free. I'll get you to mark on here the things that jump out at you that the Holy Spirit is asking you to deal with today. Mark and I did this in Central, and one of the ladies said, oh, it was overwhelming because I could tick everything. So what I'm not saying is everything you've ever done put on here. It's those things that God is asking you to deal with today, all right? And he will reveal it to you. And it's also what perhaps you're characterized by. So say if you have a one-off instance of losing it, but that's not really you. It's also not what I'm asking you to put on here. It's those things that you think, but there's a behavior pattern or there's a thought pattern. It's about the patterns that go on in our mind and in our hearts. It's about identifying what they are and getting to root of those so that the Holy Spirit can come and deal with it. Okay? So that's what I'll do. And Mark's got pens. Adriana, good job there. What is Adriana? Did you not get it? Sorry. Feel free to move your chairs and spread out if you want. I also meant to say, sorry, before we go any further, I also meant to say that these words and this, when we get to the cutting of bondages and smashing of images, Mark and I learnt this through VMTC, Victorious Ministries Through Christ. What we're doing today is not that, okay? This is, these are just the prayers that we learnt to use. But like I said, you can use other words if you want. And the purpose of it is to allow us to become attentive to the Holy Spirit and deal with whatever he wants us to deal with today. Yep. Feel free to spread out. No one's going to see your sheet except you. So I'll just be quiet now so you can reflect. And remember, just ask the Holy Spirit, what is it he wants you to deal with today? If you think the Holy Spirit's prompting you with something that's not written on there, write it on there yourself, or just remember it in your mind when we come to the first box that where we get to confess sin. The reason it's good to acknowledge what we do wrong is because we tend to hide, and we know that from Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hid. And then when God invited them out and said, where are you and what have you done? Then they blamed other people. So we, being aware of that's what our tendencies are, try to not do that in this process. So that's why just saying, Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to deal with? That's God saying, come out of hiding. Where are you? What have you done? And there's no blaming, there's no condemnation. It's a simple question. and the Holy Spirit will convict you. So next step, in the box on the back where it says, Lord, I confess a sin, dot, 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 dot. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. So if we do that, that's what the word of God promises will happen. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us. When we go to Mass, every time we go to Mass, we do the act of contrition or confession. I don't know what it's called. And we say, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, because it is. And so then we are confessing every time in Mass that before we get to receive Jesus in communion. So this is not new. And this is not any, these are not magical words. It's the word of God, and we do it every day in Mass or whenever we go to Mass. So what I'm going to ask you to do is say out loud, Lord, I confess the sin. And in your mind, to yourself, not out loud, those things that you want, God wants you to deal with today. And we'll just wait for a minute, and then we'll all say together, I repent of these and thank you for your forgiveness. That's it. So can we do that now? Okay, so let's say it together. Lord, I confess a sin. I repent of these and thank you for your forgiveness. Okay. That's the first step in allowing ourselves to be freed from what's going on, or letting the Holy Spirit tell us about what's going on inside our hearts, because the two things that keep us bound up are unconfessed sin or unrepentant sin and unforgiveness. So they're the two things we want to deal with, especially today. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of it. So next thing, that next dot point in between the two boxes, is there anyone need to forgive in relation to what I've just confessed? So just ask the Holy Spirit to prompt you. Is there anyone you need to forgive? Now, it may be not in relation to what you've just confessed. It could be anyone. So maybe just say, is there anyone, Lord, I need to forgive and what for? And let him prompt you. Let him tell you. St. Teresa of Avila said once, Lord, something along these lines, Lord, I don't want to be with you right now, but I want to be with you right now. If that prayer is good enough for St. Teresa of Avila, it's good enough for me. So if there is someone you're finding it difficult to forgive, maybe say, Lord, I choose to forgive, whether you feel it or not, this particular person. You can say, Lord, give me the grace to forgive such and such a person. But I feel like that's a little bit different to choosing to forgive. So it's not about feelings. It's about choosing. So can we do that second box now? Yes. Okay. So we'll say out loud, and again, Lord, I forgive dot whoever for whatever. It's good to be specific. Again, those dots are done silently. You don't have to say it out loud, and the rest we'll say together. Ready? Let's go. Lord, I forgive. For and for what they've done, to pray for them. Awesome. Now, Holy Spirit, come now into the places in our hearts you have just divulged to us that need to be dealt with, and fill those spaces with your love, with your grace, and with everything you want to give to us. In this moment, in Jesus' name I ask, amen. Now, cutting of bondages. So a bondage or a tie or an attachment can be to a person, a place, a thing, an experience. They sometimes come out of those, potentially those areas where we've just confessed and asked God to forgive us. And by the way, if you want to take that to the sacrament, feel free. And unforgiveness. So if we've just confessed and forgiven, now we can cut if there are any bondages there. There may not be. And again, feel free to take this on board or not. So what I'm going to ask you now, though, is to pray again quietly and ask the Holy Spirit, what are those areas that you want me to deal with today where there is a bondage, and ask him to reveal them to you now. It can be a person, can be to a person, to a place, to a thing, or to an experience. So I'll tell you what, if we just pray that, and then if any of those come up in your mind, let's deal with that if it happens. Okay, let's pray that now, quietly. Another name for a bondage could be an unhealthy attachment. Now, the word of God is active and alive. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 12. So I'm going to take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and cut you free from bondage to the people, places, things, and experiences that you've just dealt with here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not magic. It is the word of God. And you know what? You may or may not feel anything different. But if walk out this week out of here and remember, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you that you have now been cut free from those things that were holding you bound, okay? And remember that and claim it, and I guarantee you things will not be the same for, in a good way. Last thing. Oh, no, before I do that, I just want to, again, there's on the bottom of the sheet, the collect at Mass during the week said this: pardon the offences of your people, we pray, O Lord, and in your goodness set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. So we do these prayers, we use different terminology in the Mass. Okay, last thing, smashing of images and words and thought patterns. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2, talks about the word of God being a hammer and it smashes images. We touched on this last week. So if there's any negative thought patterns or images that are disturbing, or not even disturbing, just irritating even. I had one this morning when I was in adoration. I thought, flip, I don't even know where that came from, but I'd smashed it straight away. I smashed the power of it straight away. And so then it doesn't keep coming back. So then I could focus on Jesus. So we're going to do that now. So if there are any images, words, or thought patterns, let them come to your mind. And as they do, I'm going to take the word of God as a hammer. And in the name of Jesus, smash the power of those images. I'm going to take the word of God as a hammer and smash the power of those words. And I take the word of God as a hammer and I smash the power of the thought patterns that are in your mind that are negative and stop you being the best person you can be for Christ. In Jesus' name, I smash them with the word of God. Smash, so I've smashed. God has smashed them with his word, the power of those images. So you may remember the image, maybe a little fuzzy, but the power now has no power over you. Now that's a tool you can use every day if you like. I think also last week I mentioned sometimes when I go to, I used to, not so much anymore, going up to Holy Communion, I would get a negative thought in my mind. Now that could be the accuser lying to me, or it could be just a thought pattern that has been there, and that, because the enemy will use whatever we've got to remind us and accuse us of what we are not, and that is to lie to us about who we are. And of course we are co-heirs to the kingdom. So you can smash it. You just say, in the name of God, I take the word of God as a sword and I smash the power of that word, image in my mind, in Jesus' name. Again, it's not magic. It's the word of God. If you don't believe me, try it. I think that's it for the prayer thing. I'd like to give you some tools, such as the one I just said, and then Mark's going to talk about your experience and what is it called? Discernment of spirits, and I'm going to ask you to do an infilling and pray the Holy Spirit. So where all these places have been, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come and heal. So what we've done is we've gotten real with ourselves and with God. We come out of hiding, say, and said, God, I need your help. I need you to deal with this stuff. I want you to show me where I need to deal with it. He has dealt with it, and now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and heal us in those places. I will do that now, I think. Mark, do you want to do that? Do the healing? Holy Spirit? Yep.
We've done that. Yeah. Okay. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for the people here. And right now, we just pray for a general healing on this body of people. We just pray, Lord God, that the areas in our lives that we have kept hidden and they want to bring to the light, we pray for a general healing of your Holy Spirit. Heal us in words, thoughts, and minds. We also pray a general physical healing for injuries, hurts, those recovering from surgeries. We pray for this will sound weird, but a renewing of ligament abilities. Don't know why I'm praying that, but anyway, that's what I felt like the Holy Spirit said. We pray for an ability to move physically, but also be able to move in your Holy Spirit. And we pray that general healing in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Sounds okay, a bit strange, but anyway, there you go. Do you want me to do the fruits now? Gifts first and then fruits. Okay. So this is also a great thing. Now, we've all been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me just ask you, do you think, and be honest, do you think you're using your gifts to their full potential? Put your hand up if you think that's the case. Have a look around. Okay. There we go. Interesting. And we've prayed for the gifts when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Put your hand up if you think you have discernment of spirits. Okay. So there's a few of us. What do we do with that discernment of spirits gift in community? I will be honest with you. I have had that gift for a long time. And when I knew I had it, I spoke to somebody in community and said, like, what do I do with it, really, this discernment of spirits gift? I walked past a witchcraft shop and I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stand up and I was like, oh, that's weird. That was really early on. I would have been 20, didn't even know much about that discernment of spirits a gift, but I have it. But the person just sort of said to me, well, just pray for people if you've got that discernment of spirits gift, which is a good thing. But after doing this prayer training course, like, it's much more serious than just praying for people. It's about naming spirits, you know. So Derek's word, if I can just really quickly, this whole discernment of spirits thing, Derek, is why I asked you for your word. It just prompted me for this little bit. So there can be, Derek's word said, let go of pride, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, indignation, and criticism of others. Now, in some cases, there will be a spirit of pride at work. So after when you pray with people and you have a sense of that, you can actually bind that spirit. I bind the spirit of pride and we send him off. So that, I think, that gift is underutilized in the community. And I now think, gosh, what a great thing to, I think we should all have the discernment of spirits gift because we can actually use that much more powerfully in our lives and for the lives of people. So with all of that, the Holy Spirit's saying, shut up and pray. So let's do that. Okay. So Holy Spirit, please come and send us your gifts in full to overflowing measure. So we pray for an increase in the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. We pray for an increase in the gift of faith. We pray for an increase in words of knowledge, prophecy. We pray for an increase in the gift of healing. And we pray, Lord, for a real openness to this discernment of spirits and the ability to be courageous and step out and use that gift. And we pray that you would shower us with your Holy Spirit and enhance those gifts in our life. Did I remember all of them? Words of knowledge, I did say. Words of wisdom, maybe. So we pray for that also, so that we may know the right thing to say at the right time. In your holy name, amen. Cool. Okay. Fruits. Okay. And so we also pray for a fresh infilling of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I always need a bit more joy, a bit more peace, patience. So let's pray for those things. Put your hand up if you don't need more kindness in your life. Look, no one. Anyone need a bit more peace? Yes, we all do. Okay. So please, Lord, come down. We send your Holy Spirit and increase in us the fruits of your Holy Spirit, the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We thank you for filling us with those gifts. Please, Lord, we pray that they will be more evident in our life. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amma at the end. Great.
So So that piece of paper you have in your hands now, you can feel free to rip it up. Or when we're in Central, some people wanted to keep it and take it to the sacrament. So you can do that too if you want to. But Mark's got a bag. Just rip it up and put it in the bag because that's been dealt with. You don't have to go back there. And Mark's got a rubbish bag. We'll go home, chuck it in the bin. We won't look at them. As Mark's doing that, I'm just going to pray now that, Lord, you close off now, and Mother Mary, you put your mantle around us now, around our minds, that you would protect us from all the things that we've been opened up to. And the only spirit at work in us is the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Not every bondage, not everything has a spirit attached to it. Some of it's just our, well, not just our, some of it is our human frailty, our fallen human nature. But sometimes there are spirits attached, especially if there's been some kind of occult thing. There could have been generational stuff going on, but that's a whole other area that we won't go into now. Some tools. So one of the tools I talked about was the smashing of the images and thought patterns and things. So that's a simple prayer. I take the word of God as a hammer and I smash the power of. Dun, dun, dun. And these, if you want them, I can text them to you, or Mark can put them on the messenger, or we can get them to you some other way if you want them. The other thing is keeping a short of count. Now, I heard this terminology, keeping a short of count, from an Anglican church, a small number of people back in the backwater of Mandurah. And they asked each other, are you keeping a short account? They were keeping each other accountable. And I said, what do you mean by keeping a short account? And they said, well, as soon as you sin, you confess it straight away, a bit like what we did today. Lord, I confess a sin, jit. Thank you for your forgiveness. So as soon as we do something, we can confess it straight away and have the forgiveness of the Lord straight away. And then when we take it to the sacrament, then we get united with the body of Christ. Okay, so we don't, unless it's a mortal, serious sin where we have to go to the sacrament for it, we can get forgiveness as soon as we've done it, straight away. Does that make sense? Yep. Awesome. Now, Saint Jose Maria Escriva said this: force yourself, if necessary, to always forgive those who offend you from the very first moment. So that keeping a short account, whilst it's new terminology for me, it's been in our tradition for a long time. I don't know when Saint Jose Maria Escriva lived. I think he's a modern saint. Yep. But he said it himself: force yourself, if necessary, always to forgive at the moment you are offended, or confess the moment we do something. And that's a tool we can keep in our toolbox just to make sure that we are keeping in line with the Holy Spirit. It's about being attentive to him and what he's doing in our hearts. That's what it's about. And I think that's it, Mark. Was there anything else? No. The other thing is the armor of God. You can put that on every day as well. Are you going to do that? All right, Mark's going to do the armor of God, and then I think we're done. And if there's any questions, feel free to ask us afterwards. Sean Ratcliffe also, he's around. You can ask him some questions too, because he's done the same training course, and Jane as well. Okay.
Oh, you're there.
Okay. So, the out of Romans, the armor of God. Put your hand up if you know about the armor of God. Most of us should. Is it Ephesians? Might be Ephesians. Apologies. I always think of the Roman armor, so I think of Romans anyway. So I knew about the armor of God, but I didn't really use it very well. But I'll be honest with you, I heard this lady speak, and she said that she was having a really tricky time with her kids, and they were fighting and arguing, and there was real angst. And the little kid said to Mum, "Oh, Mum, that's right. We forgot to put the armor of God on today." So they did the armor of God prayer in the car, and she said immediately things were different. So, yeah, bit of a powerful tool. So we're going to do that in a second. I'll tell you from my journey. I'm working at Chisholm now, and every day driving to Chisholm, I just put the armor of God on in the car, and things could have gone really pear-shaped a couple of times, and they just didn't. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to put on the armor of God. It's a great tool, and I would encourage you to do it daily for yourself. It's a very simple prayer. So we'll start at the top, and I'm just going to – what we do is we'll close that. Because we talked about all this spiritual stuff, we're just going to close – no? Do you want to do that? No? Jackie's going to say something. Sorry, my bad. Oh, did you? My bad. Okay, sorry. I was doing something else. Okay, so I start from the top. You can do it for yourselves. So stick your hands on your head. So on your head, we're going to put on the helmet of salvation. That's going to help us to remember that we're saved in Christ. It's going to be a great thing. So, Lord, we're going to now put on the breastplate of righteousness. Good that you do that for yourself. So that's going to keep us righteous in the Lord. We're going to put on our waist the belt of truth. That's going to help us to remember that the truth will set us free. On your feet, can you touch your feet? You're going to put on your feet the sandals for the gospel of peace. Now, if you are right-handed, put your hand up if you're right-handed. In your right hand, we are going to give you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you're going to take that. It's going to enable you to go on the attack, okay? And if you are left-handed, if you're the other way around, do it the other way around. So sword in your left hand, and then in your left hand for us, for those of us who are right-handed, we're going to give you a shield of faith. And this is like a huge shield that covers you from your feet to your head. It's like a massive Roman army shield, and it is going to deflect all the fiery darts of the enemy. So I'm going to give you that. And then off your shoulders, you can do this sort of gesture. We're going to take off these heavy burdens that you've been carrying, and want to give you the mantle of praise. And then in front of you, that's going to help you praise the Lord in all six situations. And then if you remember way back to the early medieval times, when they go to war, they have in front of them like a standard. It's like a flag. So we're going to put in front of you, you can go like this, carry your standard, and that's the standard of the cross. And that's going to be your guide to help you. I think that's it. Is that it? And we're going to ask the Lord for all of that to protect us and help us go on the fight. And we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Amen. One more thing.
It's just when we were sitting there, I was praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me to say this. So next time we go to Mass, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, I could be wrong, it's up for you to decide, ask your guardian angel to take everything that you have with part of the offertory and put it under the altar, and so that it can go like incense up to God as the offertory on the altar. So if that makes any sense. Beautiful. Good. And you know what else you can do? You can ask your guardian angel to ask everybody else's guardian angel in the room to do the same. It's powerful. Thank you. Again, any questions, please ask us. God bless.
Okay. So, folks, as we head into Holy Week, I think that's a beautiful way to head into it, isn't it? As we've come through Palm Sunday. Can I just encourage you, if you are meeting up with your discipler this week, so if you're meeting with your discipler, right, one-on-one, what is it that you think God most wants to bring conversion in your life through? What's that area, right? Be accountable. So you use your discipleship relationship to be able to say, this is where God wants me to change, and you name it, right? If you're in sharing group this week, in your sharing group, not only will you name it, but what are the steps you're going to take to practice the fruit of the virtue that will be in exchange of the thing that you want to convert from? So if it's anger, the fruit, the positive fruit or virtue would be patience. But how are you going to do it? How are you actually going to put some steps into place to help you grow in patience? Or if you have a habit of swearing and you want to cut that and you've prayed now for the spirit to be gone, right? Now you just want to speak virtuous words. How are you going to practice it? What are you going to do? But you've got to say it in sharing group, right? So you're taking the power of the spirit that has been filled into our hearts here this afternoon, and now we're going to take responsibility to actually act in a virtuous way. And we're going to practice those virtues, right? We have to take our place in the work of conversion. So as we take in that armor of God, right, the armor of God protects us, but we've also got to march. We've got to march forward, right? We've got to be different. So in your discipleship, what are you going to do? And in your sharing groups, what are you going to state? What is the practice that you're going to put into action, okay? Because the whole point of this week is that we are united with Christ. Nothing holds us back. We're united with Christ. So thanks, everybody. Mark and Jackie, what an awesome time that you have done with us here this afternoon and last week. Beautiful. Thanks for challenging us and forcing us to ask questions and to think about things, right, and to be moved. I think that's really powerful that we've done that. And Steve Proud, not only thanks for taking the kids out and being out there in the sunshine, but for breaking open our hearts today. Thank you with your team. Okay, and everybody who's helped in any way, thanks very much. And let's help each other now as we pack up and spend some fellowship time. God bless everyone.